Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome, everyone, to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a phenomenal show lined up for you guys today. We have my co-host and friend, Linda Feinholtz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda's calling to you live this week from Los Angeles, California. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Gina. Hello, everyone. I am so excited about our guest for today's show. You know, the last few weeks we've been talking about marketing and relationship building and relationship capital. And as I was thinking about today's show, the phrase went through my head of word of mouth, word of mouth, word of mouth. It sort of doesn't matter whether we're talking about in an online environment or an offline environment. Today's guest exemplifies how word of mouth is so critical. We have with us today Greg Reinerson, who is one of the owners of Cops and Donuts. And we're going to climb into the details from the marketing side, but also from the entrepreneurial side, because the fact is so many of us who become entrepreneurs never got out of bed thinking that's what we were going to do in life. And so we're going to be talking about all of that as I welcome Greg to the show. Greg, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, now, it's great here in Clare, Michigan today.
Fabulous. And you're just back from being overseas, aren't you?
That's right. We got home just a week ago.
And what were you doing overseas?
Well, through our relationships and Twitter, we made a connection with the Portsmouth District of the Hampshire Constabulary, and we went over to do a police event. And Saturday, October 5th, we greeted 42,000 people from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. at the Gunwharf Quays shopping and historical area.
Amazing.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and we took Cops Coffee. Soon Cops Coffee will be a household name across the country. That's our goal. And we took over nearly 3,500 bags of coffee, and we treated the tea-drinking country to our medium roast. We call it Morning Shift, and they love it. Coffee is starting to get bigger over there, and Cops Coffee might be over there. You never know. If not, they'll be able to find it all over America.
Amazing, amazing. Gina, I want to start with you because you have stood in Clare, Michigan on site.
I have not. I got a phone call one morning from my good friend Robert and Terry Talltree, who were on site in Clare, Michigan, enjoying coffee and donuts for breakfast, and they called because they just had to share the experience they were having while they were sitting in Cops and Donuts. And they were laughing their heads off as they were reading the T-shirts and the signs and talking with Rhino and meeting the other people. And I thought it was such a brilliant example of marketing and entrepreneurship and how in this one little itty-bitty town, you can start a business that ends up going global. And I thought it was such a beautiful example that I just had to have Rhino join us on the air.
And I love it. Just for clarity, we're going to be talking about Rhino and Greg in the same breath. And Rhino, why don't you explain to people why?
Sure. We go by our nicknames when we're here. For 30 years, I was a police officer, started out as a volunteer, and then worked into full-time. And for 30 years, I was Officer Reinerson. and the rest of us here, Chief Gregory, Officer White, and all that. And that's for when we were doing our police job. When we wanted to do Cops and Donuts and make it fun, we said we were going to introduce the public to our nicknames. Many didn't know our nicknames. It was just amongst us. But we wanted to go by our nicknames and be more approachable. And from day one, my brothers, all of my family, because of my last name, Reinerson, we've all been Rhino. And I've been Rhino. The school teachers calling attendance would say Rhino. So, yeah, Rhino is Greg Reinerson, and we go by Rhino here. It's printed on our shirts. It says Rhino, cop owner, instead of co-owner. It's a cop owner, and the rest of the guys all have it on their shirts, too.
I love it. So let's roll time back to July of 2009, and how did the cops of Clare, Michigan, become donut shop owners?
Well, I was at the coffee shop called the Mulberry Cafe, quaint little beautiful place here in town, having coffee one morning, and the word around the round table was the bakery was going to close. There had been no talk of it until that morning. That was actually the last Friday in May of 2009. And they said that the current owners at that time, it just wasn't doing what they thought it was going to do. And with the tough economic times, they tried selling it outside of the area. It didn't work, so they were going to close it July 1st. And I went back at lunch that day and told the guys, said, hey, the bakery's been open 113 years. It's the third longest running business in our city. We had buildings closing up all over and stores closing just in our one block. If that would have happened and with the other closures slated for 2009, we would have had six empty storefronts in just the one block on the one side of the street. And we only have 11 parking spaces in that one block, and, you know, we need all of it there. So at lunch, I told the guys and said, hey, why don't we do some checking and see if they'll lease with the option to buy, and we'll come up with a unique name for it. And the rest is history. We sketched it out on a pizza box, came up with the price, and we were full steam ahead after 2 weeks. We thought on it for a couple Sundays, looked the place over, got the numbers. I came up with what I thought we could throw in to get it going. We limited it to the 9 full-time officers. We had others that wanted in, but, you know, times were tough, and we said, let's stick with the guys that are full-time. You know, we still have our jobs right now, at least, and we know we're going to get our checks. If we got to keep putting money into it, we know we're going to get our checks. And we were blessed, and it took off, and we could have started it with no money.
And this was a shift. I mean, you folks weren't operating second and third businesses on the side, you know, getting your entrepreneurial urges met.
Well, we were a little bit. Bubba, our vice president, Al White, he has written a couple books and published them himself. So he has that he's been dabbling with. Brian Gregory has Northern Michigan Canine School. So he had dabbled with that, selling canines and training them to other agencies. And then myself, I have a couple rental cottages that are vacation cottages. So we had dabbled with it a little bit, but never anything that was going to be full speed ahead, you know, multi-million people over a few years and stuff. Yeah, nothing like that.
So how did you all organize yourselves among the 9 of you in order to turn this into an organized new business?
Yeah, well, they elected me president right from the beginning, and once we decided to flip the switch, which was on June 14th, and we were going to take over July 1st, I took a few days vacation. The city of Clare stood behind us 100%. I was able to get the time off. We got with a local attorney. The entire community banded with us. We had the attorney help us out in the beginning at no charge. We had a bookkeeper in the beginning with no charge. Everybody just banded together, and we put it all together. We got our LLC up. We got the health department, and the previous owners closed on June 30th, and we opened July 1st as Cops and Donuts. And on July 2nd, it hit the press, and on July 3rd, the Associated Press put it out. And then the first Sunday after that, we were everywhere, all over the world. We've got emails from Barcelona, Spain from that day, from just everywhere. You could go on Yahoo, you could go on Google, every homepage, it was on there, Cops and Donuts, downtown Clare, Michigan. We did live with Fox and Friends. We did CNN, Good Morning America Weekend, World News. It just keeps going and going and going. We have a program that's going to air later this week, the 17th at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on RFD-TV. It's Small Town Big Deal with Jan Carl and Rodney Miller. You may remember Jan Carl from Entertainment Tonight, the blonde, and
yep.
She used to do the Jerry Lewis telethon. We filmed that back in June, and that's going to play. It's continuing. It will hang the phone up today, and the phone will ring. Something else will come in.
Absolutely fabulous.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a whirlwind. It's unbelievable. We're in the running. We joked about it here a year ago, and now we're in the running with Intuit. They're doing a promotion for small businesses in America. You have to be 50 and under employees. You have to be able to withstand the growth of getting this top prize, and we'll know by the 28th if we're down to the final 20. And if we win this top prize, some small business in America is going to win it, and it's a free 30-second ad that's going to play during the big game in February.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
There's another
goodness
name for
that
big game,
phenomenal.
But we have to use the word big game. So, yeah,
amazing.
And that's worth millions of dollars. And
yes,
we've been working at it full speed. If you go to our website, copsdonuts.com, you'll see a video that we put together with our current chief, and he's one of our owners. And we've been going at it full steam. Every day it's a new venture, and it's great.
Is voting now closed for that?
What's that now?
Is voting now closed for that?
Round two voting is closed, but there will be a final public vote. And the way I'm reading through the rules, I believe if we can get to the final four, right now we're in the hands of Intuit. They have a panel of judges that are going to choose the final 20. They're going to contact those 20. They're going to make sure that we're solvent, that we can handle it, that we can withstand the growth. And then it'll be chosen down to the final four by all of the global Intuit employees. So if you're listening out there and you work for Intuit, vote for Cops and Donuts because it's in the hands of the Intuit employees. And then the final four will be announced November 11th, I believe, is the date. And then it's going to be truly just a popularity vote. Worldwide, you'll be able to vote online, and the top prize is going to be that 30-second ad.
Well, please make sure you let us know. I have a sizable list. Robert and Terry do. Many of the people in the Directions University community have sizable lists. We will all support you on this, Rhino. So anything we can do to help, just let us know.
Yep. And then, you know, we have some naysayers or whatever. They say, well, what does a little bakery in downtown Sleepy Clair, Michigan need with a big game ad? And our answer to that is we've become a tourist attraction from people coming from all over the world. This year, we're going to run very close to 500,000 people through our three storefronts. We've expanded into three storefronts. And then our Cops Coffee is done by Paramount in Lansing, just down the road. They can make all the coffee of ours that we need. And soon we hope to see Cops Coffee on the shelves of every supermarket in America.
And I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that through the power of the Internet, you guys have really single-handedly changed the economy of Clair, Michigan.
Yes. You never know. They may be listening. Maybe Steve Kingsbury, our city treasurer, he may be listening. Maybe he'll call in and share. But, yeah, it's helped.
Amazing. Amazing.
I mean, what a difference.
Oh, yeah. I know that over...
You guys have really been brilliant at using the power of the Internet to expand to a global audience and not just stay a small bakery in Clair, Michigan.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about how you did that and what you did to encourage that worldwide audience?
Sure. Just been watching the trends, and we know that Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those are so big. You said it at the beginning. What's the number one best advertising that everybody thinks is the very best? And that's word of mouth. You know, and we have everybody talking about us that's been here. Now, the new word of mouth today is electronic. Electronic word of mouth is Facebook and Twitter. I did Twitter just as I went on, letting everybody know we're live. I'm sure we have people all over the world listening because of that. They will retweet that out, and that's electronic word of mouth, and you've got to be on top of that, and we're involved every day. We do some of the goofiest things on there. I squished a Bismarck on the front sidewalk and made it into a crime scene and needed leads. In less than 72 hours, the picture had been shared by 1,500 people and viewed by millions. And then we offered a $100 cash reward for the information at the end. And, you know, it's that goofy stuff. Business-like that we do things, like I've done some speaking for Connect Michigan through the EDC, the Economic Development. And when I put those posts out, we get a little bit of response from it, but nothing like when we do something goofy. People just like to have fun and make it entertaining and all that. When we do the goofy stuff, it goes crazy. Al White Bubba, had a bet with me, and it was on what our sales were going to be for a particular day or weekend, I don't remember. And he was showed up, and he said, if you do that, I'll wear a tutu. Well, the art gallery that opened up next door that was inspired by us, the night of their opening, Bubba, which is full-figured, like myself, was in a pink tutu. And you can find those pictures online.
Gosh.
So, and we do those type of things, and we don't let it end at that, you know. When I get off the phone today, I'll probably have ideas from you or maybe some guests that call in, and we're going to jump on it. You know, we're like cops. When you have a problem, you solve it right away. We're not the big executive business where we're going to sit for hours and sit through committee and committee and committee. We're going to try it. If we lose a little bit of money on it, we've made some mistakes, you lose it. But then we go forward and we keep going with the good ones.
The point you're making about humor is so important. We're living in a larger economy that's so stressful that any and every aspect of humor that a person can bring in, legitimate humor, associated with a product, a service, a program that lightens your client or your customer's experience of their day can only help build the relationship. And
sure. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
And I've got to believe that as cops, you guys were in the business of serving your community. That's what you do as cops. And it was really obvious as Robert and Terry were sharing their experience of Cops and Donuts with me that you guys really get serving even in your business. Everything you do in your business is no different than what you did as cops. You're just serving in a different capacity, right?
Right, and it's a lot more fun. The donuts
it
are much
is a
more
lot
fun.
More fun. Well, phone call I got from them, they sent me a picture via text of the girl behind the counter who was getting the donuts for everybody, who was very pregnant. She was 8 or 9 months pregnant at the time, who has a pink T-shirt, and on it says, there's an arrow pointing to her tummy, and it says, "Baby, not Bismarck's, Cops and Donuts." And I started laughing my butt off because my husband's 340 pounds. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, could I possibly get one that says Bismarck's not baby with an arrow pointing to his tummy? Pink T-shirt that says something similar but not that. You got to get one that says that, Rhino.
Well, we've had people ask for that, and we don't have it. But we do have the alternative, and it'll be launched maybe before Christmas. And it's going to read, and we don't know exactly how the graphics are going to be. It'll probably just be a real subtle abdomen graphic, and it's going to say, "You may have a six-pack, but I've got a baker's dozen."
Oh, that's too funny.
We'll have bumper stickers online shortly with those, and we're going to have a shirt like that. So
they got him a T-shirt that says something about DWI or DUI.
Yep, DWI is our number one selling slogan. Donuts were involved. Yeah.
And
the reason that's the number one selling item is you always hear how everybody likes that bad boy persona. You know, the real classy executive lady's got that bad boy boyfriend or bad boy husband, and that's what it is. Everybody wants it. The black one sells the best with the white print, and it's got big, bold DWI. You know, it's that bad boy. Oh, I might have got busted, but then in the small print it says donuts were involved. And we sell that on mugs, on T-shirts, bumper stickers.
The pink T-shirt, not the black T-shirt, and he wears it all the time, and it is bright, like really bright pink. And there's this big 340-pound guy. Now, you guys did something different with your T-shirt that was brilliant. It's got the Cops and Donuts logo on the front, but the DWI Donuts Were Involved, copsdonuts.com, is on the back. And because it's on the back, people don't hesitate to stare at it. Every time Bill wears that T-shirt, he gets 15 or 20 people who come up to him that day wanting to know about copsdonuts.com and what it's all about and where the T-shirt came from. It is the best advertising you guys could have done.
Yeah, it's done really well for us. And we thought about that. You know, some of the guys wanted the slogans on the front, but you picked it right there. That's why we intentionally put most of our slogans on the back, is because people don't mind staring at somebody's back and seeing what it says. You know, it's kind of, you know, if you go up and bother a person, "Can I see what your shirt is on the front?" You know, people just don't like to approach people like that. So
tested that, Rhino, and believe it or not, it is exactly what the tests say as well. on the back is where the domain name goes. And people will take out sheets of paper or ask Bill to write it down for them because they really want to know more about it. I actually thought about asking you guys to send me some business cards because he's a 340-pound billboard all day every time he wears it.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, we can do that. Another one we have is Keep Calm and Get Your Donut On. And that's actually printed on the front. But everybody's got a, once that walks by, you know, they're bright colors. We sell mostly to the women with that. As they walk by, they turn around and they always look at the back. Well, on that, we actually put our domain all the way down at the bottom on the back, and we call it the bumper sticker. And because most of the gals are wearing
goodness.
Their shirts out, and we're getting a great response with those. Another thing
oh,
I'd like
hysterical.
To add. Another thing I'd like to add is we did some playing around here in the beginning of offering American-made and then non-American-made, and still we would get the majority of the people that would lean towards the less expensive and the non-American-made. So we're actually taking that option away a little bit. Anything that we can get in American-made, we're switching it over to that. Right now our apparel and merchandise is probably 75% all American-made now. We're not even going to offer the other option. And that forces the American-made purchase. We're using Bayside for many of our shirts and American apparel. And our caps and everything, we're using Bayside. And we're just not going to offer the non-American-made. We're just going to do as much American-made as we can.
I love it.
Well, you know, when you're first getting the business off the ground, you do have to do what sells. But
yeah,
once you've got an audience and you've got the buzz going the way that you guys do, you really can stand up and take a stand and do what really makes the most sense to serve your people. And I really applaud you for doing that.
Yep, we're doing more of it. And we shop locally as much as we can. You know, we work here in Clare with everything we can, and then we start working our way out. And we go as far as we need to reach to do it. But anything that's consumed in our bakery that can be made here is made here. If it's not made here, it's made by another business in the Clare community. We've got a big Amish following here, and they have a commercial kitchen, and they do our Cops Crunch for us, which is like a peanut brittle, but instead of peanuts, we have cashews in it, and it's a little bit softer, so it's easier on the teeth. We do that. Our coffee is made just 90 miles down the road in Lansing, Michigan, by Paramount. They've been around since 1935. Most of our bakery products are bought through Dawn Food Products. Their world headquarters is in Jackson, Michigan, and I worked with them. Our current boxes that we used to have in our bags, they came from here in the States, but I said, is there any place locally we can get it done? So now our bags are being made by Stuart Sutherland out of Vicksburg, Michigan, our logoed bags. Our logoed boxes are being done by St. Clair Packaging in Marysville, Michigan. Our honey is from local honey beekeeper here. We have maple syrup. You can see the trees on the edge of town that our maple syrup come from. And we're truly about local, and we'll reach out as far as we go. We do have mugs that are from China because we can't get reasonably priced mugs that are American-made, but I understand that's coming. So, but we start as local as we can, and if we can't find it, we'll reach as far as we need to.
What
I love
a great
it.
Example for our listeners, Linda. You know, here's a business that really has a global reach, that has customers all over the world, and even in the restaurant, there's an electronic map that you can go through to see all the different places that they have customers. And yet it still really supports local, and I really love that a lot.
Right. That map also, we're in the process. We're switching over to a new website that's got a lot more bells and whistles, and it's, the store portion of it's going to work a little friendlier in some of the other countries. But that map that people pin here electronically, you'll actually be able to view online probably here within the next 30 days. So you could come here from anywhere in the world, pin our map, and then you could go home, show your friends. You may check in later and find that a neighbor was here. The other big thing, the number one thing that people go to our website for is to view our live webcam. We have a live webcam right on our homepage. You just scroll down and it's running live there. And by eight times over, that's the number one reason that people come to our site and they watch our live webcam. I think they're just astounded at how busy we are and how many hours of the day we stay busy. But we're actually going to add maybe a second webcam that will be our parallel parking cam out front. People like to watch them park.
Oh, that's hysterical. That's a great idea. Really great idea.
I love the way every part of this business is a play on cops, donuts, the culture that's triggered and started there, and this integration with marketing. And I would love if we could roll back time a little bit so people understand this relationship between an idea, execution, marketing, feedback, the next idea, and so on. So first you had this storefront bakery that you renamed.
Right. It was Clare City Bakery, which fit right in with Clare City Police, just Clare City Bakery. And Brian Gregory's son, I believe he was 11 at the time, we were beating our names around. We didn't even, we had several different names we were going to call it in the beginning. And 11-year-old Brendan says, hey, everybody's talking about cops and robbers, and now you guys have got the donuts instead of cops and robbers. Why not cops and donuts? And our bell went off right then. We bought the domain instantly so that we would have it. And that's where the name started.
And the next part of the business that you added was what?
The cop shop. We started in this little bakery. It's only 24 feet wide of store frontage. Had been there since 1896. We started in there, and we outgrew it within a matter of 3 days. The building to the north of us was empty. It was a pharmacy most of its life. We got a hold of the current owner that had just got it back through foreclosure, and we knew the guy wasn't coming back because we had warrants for his arrest. And so we bought the building to the north of us. We knocked a hole through the wall, and we expanded. We call this the cop shop. And that's where you find that electronic map, additional seating, and then that's where we have our commerce. That's where we have our T-shirts and hoodies and on and on, mugs, shot glasses. We have our own line of perfume. We've got probable cause, misbehaving, and under suspicion. We do it all, and the perfumes are selling great with Christmas coming right now.
No kidding.
Yep, so that was the second, and that was, we were over here by that first Labor Day of 09, and we only used the front half of the building. We rented some convention curtains because we have a real high ceiling. The building was built in 1908, and we've got the original tin ceiling, 16-foot high ceilings. So we rented convention curtains, blue ones, and divided it off because we didn't need all the building. Well, now we use the entire building and all the basement, and then if you'd like me to move into our third venture, the back of the house, we call it, could not keep up with production, so we needed more bakery space for production. So we bought out the little Chinese restaurant to the south of us, and we went over there, and we doubled the size of our production area. And then with having all that front area that they did their Chinese food, we converted that, and we made it into our traffic stop diner. And their old duck roaster, we use that now as a smoker, and we smoke all of our own pork here. We pull the pork and we serve pork sandwiches. We hand pad up our burgers. Everything we make right here. We call it family reunion food without the family fight, but if one breaks out, we can handle it.
I want you to know, as you describe each of this, I myself am living in a state of both admiration and envy at all of the metaphors and language that you get to use in your business.
Yeah, it's endless. You know, with the cops and donuts and the police and the twist. And, you know, at the time we purchased it, between the nine of us, we had over 150 years of law enforcement experience. So we've heard it all, and now we just put the fun twist on it. And we've had very little negative. I honestly thought with the amount of arrests and, you know, because we were an aggressive department here, we've kept Clare under control. It's a nice little sleepy town, and in order to do that, your police department has to be aggressive. And I thought we would have more negative from some of the community, but it's been very, very little. It's been great.
So as you've become owners of this burgeoning business, how did you time stepping out of your police roles in order to be managing and marketing and growing these businesses?
Right. Well, the first nearly 4 years, I worked about 100 hours a week between the bakery and doing full-time police work. The city was very good to me. They knew I was the president. They seen what I was doing. They worked with me very well. And then they came up with a plan for 2013, and they offered an early buyout. And myself and Bubba, the vice president, we were the only two that qualified for that buyout, and we both took advantage of it. So I retired as a police officer March 1st, and Bubba just retired September 1st. And now we're both working at least 40 hours a week promoting the bakery, here at the bakery greeting people, going to England, going to other places, donating. Our donations are huge to the community. It worked. We got past it, you know. I was almost to the burnout stage, and then the early buyout came, and it was a savior.
As you were staging your growth as a business, what were your sources of funding and financing? Because you were part of a community that clearly could see the economic impact your business was having. How did you go about funding each next part of the growth of your business?
Sure. That first building that we bought, the gentleman seen what we had going, and he worked with us, and he helped us arrange for financing, and that went very well. When it was time for that third building, which was our second expansion, the banks came to us, which was nice. And then we just recently this year refinanced what debt we had, and it was really nice with our CPA. It's the first time in my life, instead of going asking for money, we put out who wanted to loan us money. Mm-hmm. And we actually took the lowest interest rate and the best deal, and a local bank right here in town, Chemical Bank, they're great to work with. And it's just been great. They see what's going on. They see the people. They see the movement, the dollar amount that's coming in. And it's just really worked well.
And from the businesses that you've been describing to us, clearly you've been a core contributor to changing the employment in
sure.
Clare itself, let alone among these outlying vendors that you're now working with.
Right. Yeah, Clare is a very small community, but we still have a downtown development authority. And in our downtown development authority, we're the second largest employer now. The Doherty
wow.
Hotel, the Doherty Hotel is number one. The Clare Hospital, actually, it's called Mid-Michigan Health. They would be the largest, but, you know, they're very good for us. We need them, but I don't really consider them in this because, you know, they're tax exemptions and such like that.
Sure.
But for us that are paying 100% of the taxes, the Doherty Hotel is number one. We're number two. Yeah, we took it from one part-time employee that got 20 hours a week. She's still with us, works full-time, and we actually worked her about 80 hours a week in the beginning because we got caught with our pants down. And this summer we peaked out at 45 employees.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
Go back for a second to what you just shared, which was the fact that you had this stunning marketing happening very suddenly, as you said, within a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
What triggered getting into the media that way? And how do you recover? Because there's so many people. I'm in Los Angeles, which is, you know, entertainment capital, and everybody is looking for the really fast way to get the biggest visibility they can, and it's not always the best thing that can happen.
Right. That was another blessing for us with the Cops and Donuts. I actually put that together with the intent. The way I did it, our press releases, I didn't go out to buy ads in the beginning. For our opening and our grand opening, I put out press releases as if we just had a major crime in Clare. And we set up a podium out in front of the bakery. We put up police line around it. We invited the local press, the local police leaders from the state police, from the neighboring counties, and we treated it as if we had a major crime that we'd brought together a dragnet, and we did it like that. And we caught the Associated Press.
Oh, Lord, I wish I had found a
creativity. It's just creativity.
It really
it
is.
It's taking your story, your own personal story, and turning it into something newsworthy. That's what the media likes.
Yep,
and especially
yep.
when all they have is bad news, to have some good news to share, it's not hard to get their attention. You just have to be a little creative about it.
That's right. I remember when Bubba took the phone call on our third day. It was from Matt Small at the Associated Press in Washington, D.C., and he said, I've got a story that I need to confirm with you before we put it out. He says, this is too good to be true, and these facts here can't be true. Real cops, all of the department, struggling economic times, 113-year-old bakery, the name, just all of it. It was just a package deal, and it's all true, and it's all real. And he said, hold on. He said, this is the best human interest story to come out of America in a long time. And he was
yeah,
absolutely right.
Really
we, our growth continues. Like, you know, this is our 5th October, and, you know, we're wondering when it's going to plateau. We're going to keep pushing, and hopefully it's still another 10 years before it plateaus. But we've had continued growth for 5 years, and the growth has not only been continuing each year, because we base month to month by the seasons. You know, we have busier times with the tourists and such. But each month our growth is larger than the year before. So,
wow.
Yeah, percentage-wise, it's just great.
Congratulations. Well, my real area of expertise is online marketing, more so than offline marketing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you guys really need to start doing more of online You do a good job on Facebook and Twitter, but Google Plus has been a kind of non-existent place for you guys. I'd love to help you guys expand to start using Google Plus more, because the effects in overall exposure using Google Plus are much bigger than with either Facebook or Twitter.
Is that right? Yeah. Yeah.
Much
bigger. With me retiring in March, you know, it was coming right into our Irish festival, and we've been busy. My time that I start working on that is now when we slow down for the winter, and then I start picking up new projects for that. And it's so there's so many of them out there, you know. Facebook is kind of dropping off with the younger crowd now, and Twitter is taking over. But the insights or the analytics that you can get through them, it's just great being able to follow your customers, see what time they're online, what the ages are, and all that kind of stuff. And other than the touring, the tourists that come through, we're starting to change our customer base and getting the young kids in, and they really love the place. But when we first started, our customer base was probably 70 years and older with the customer base.
Wow.
So they're the people that appreciate a scratch-made bakery. It used to be the younger ones, you know. They just go buy the frozen donut that's thawed out by many of the other chains that are out there. But everything is scratch-made here, and now we're even getting the younger ones to appreciate that good quality and the difference in the freshness and everything.
Well, there's an unusual phenomenon that happens mainly online, but even offline, and that is this. When you target the older women, the 60 to 80-year-old women, online especially, you're actually reaching three audiences at the same time. Those are the women that are going to have close relationships both with their daughters and with their granddaughters. And I'm sure I'm not telling you anything new in that women tend to be the household buying decision makers.
Right.
So vacations and extra spending and whatnot, it's going to be controlled by the women. To actually market online to the 60 to 80-year-old women in a way that gets them wanting to do things with their daughters and their granddaughters could really be good for you guys.
Mm-hmm. And that age bracket, you know, just a few years ago, there were not many online that were 60 to 80, but that's growing very rapidly.
Boy, is it ever.
Yep, it sure is.
It is the fastest growing segment of the online demographics, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
And the new 60-year-old is completely different than who the 60-year-old was 10, 15 years ago. The new 60-year-old
Absolutely.
Is wearing your T-shirt.
Yep.
Yeah. The new 60-year-old is wearing those T-shirts, gifting those hats. It's a whole new culture, despite what the age number reads.
That's true, yep. And we watch that all the time. You know, we're trying to learn from it. And like you, listening to you, we'll take all that information and we take all of the good and go with it. Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah. Now, at this stage, are you strategizing with other businesses in the area for what kinds of strategic alliances you might be able to naturally craft with those locally produced goods and so on?
We've got some good connections. We don't have any strategy moving forward, like to launch anything new or anything like that. We're kind of working with what we have. To be honest with you, the one thing that we truly need here with the amount of people is we need more business downtown. We need, you know, for that traveling public. You know, of the half a million that we're going to run through here this year, 80% of them are from out of town, and 80% of them have got a pocket full of money. And so many of them come, and they're looking for more things to do. We've been trying to get some of the local businesses to stay open on Sunday. There's only a couple, three of us in the downtown area open on Sunday, and that's our third busiest day of the week now. Before us, the bakery for 113 years had never been open on Sundays. We said we were going to go 7 days a week, and almost immediately, that's our third busiest day.
Well, you can't really cater to tourists being closed on Sundays. It doesn't work very well.
No, it doesn't. Nope, and we're just trying to get others on board. Many of them are trying it and seeing that it's working. But we're in a crossroads. If you look at a map, we're in the middle of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. We are truly halfway from everywhere in the Lower Michigan. We're halfway from the Mackinac Bridge. We're halfway from the southern borders. We're halfway from Lake Huron or Lake Michigan. We are the crossroads. Of Michigan, and we have our north exit has a travel of nearly 10 million cars a year, So we've got an audience there to get them pulled down here. Our billboards have been our number one paid advertisement.
Mm.
We've got all the exits covered with billboards. We've got billboard in Florida. We've got a couple along Route 66 out in Missouri. And we hear from people from all over. They all have our website. And, it's there. You got to take the chance. That's what I told the guys when we first started this initial investment. You might be throwing your money away. So go into this with the idea. You're giving me this money right now, and you may never see it again. We may have to tell them, hey, it didn't work out. And we went in with that idea right from the beginning, and it's just been phenomenal.
Wait,
wow.
You mentioned that you're in the process of designing your next website. When you look out 12 months, what are the sorts of products that you intend to be moving through online sales?
Well, we've been doing it. The number one online product that we sell is our Cops Coffee. Next to that is the T-shirts and mugs. We've got other products. We ship breads and cookies. We're one of the few bakeries left that do salt rising bread. There used to be a commercial source to get the starter to do that salt rising bread, and that one source is no longer around. So there's very few bakeries that do salt rising bread. Our general manager here, Sherry, worked on that for months and months and gathered ideas and information from many bakeries around the country, and she was able to develop and make that starter. So now we do salt rising bread here, and we have people come and we ship it up near the Traverse City, Charlevoix area. There's a big crowd up there that like the salt rising bread, and we ship nearly every week to that area. We have customers that get the salt rising. Poonchkies are the Fat Tuesday. Last year we tried it for the first time, and we shipped, I think, to 13 or 14 different states on Fat Tuesday. We shipped out Poonchkies. The one error, and I'll tell you the mistakes we made, but that was a mistake I made. The whole idea behind Fat Tuesday and Poonchkies is to give up all that for Lent, which starts on Ash Wednesday. Well, we only make Poonchkies once. We start them on Monday, and we continue around the clock into Tuesday. So we shipped on Monday. Well, they weren't going to get their product till Wednesday or Thursday when they would have given it up for Lent. So this year we're going to advertise, and we're going to do a Friday shipping for those that go out across the nation. And I think we'll do many more. That's one thing that we're working on.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, because our product, our donuts are a one-day product, but those poonchkies are larger, denser. It's a different dough. The majority of them are glazed or covered in some way, and we individually wrap them. We did a test with them last week. We started making them on Monday, and some of them we made on Monday were still very good to eat on Thursday. So we know that we can ship them out priority mail and get them to the people, and they're still a quality poonchki. And they're not offered very many places around the country. We had locals that were in Florida in that time for the winter, and they were so glad that we were able to ship them to them.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I live in Florida right now, and it is not easy to find. There was one bakery that would make them special just for that one day. They went out of business a year and a half ago, so I'm very glad to hear that you do that, because I will definitely be ordering some.
There you go. Yeah, our population here is 3,200 people in Clare. Last year for Poonchkies, which we did just that one day, and with the ones that we shipped out, we made 10,200 of them. So,
oh, my goodness.
You're pointing out something really important, because you are in the specialty food business, and I have known a number of people who literally have online specialty food business, including gourmet chocolate shipped from the premier chocolatiers around the world, coffees that are made here in the United States, and again, specialty. There's a seasonality to certain of them. There's a holiday seasonality and so on. And the challenge is, in particular with specialty foods, if you have chocolate in them, you cannot ship for all the hot months of the year.
Exactly.
And so it's fascinating hearing all the things that you folks are producing that are specialty foods. It doesn't matter whether we're talking about Cops Coffee or whatever. Each of those items is a specialty food that's going to have its own life cycle, its own marketing cycle, either year-round or seasonal. And there's a lot of considerations and a lot of moving parts here and a lot of the logistics and scheduling for production and all of it. And I'm so thankful that you're sharing that aspect of it for people to hear.
Right. You hit on it right there. Had Fat Tuesday fallen in July, we wouldn't be able to do that because our glaze is just well. Yeah. Yep. It's fabulous that it falls in February and March.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. How did you figure out all this stuff?
Well, I missed that last question.
How did you figure out all of this stuff?
Doing it.
Just trial and error? Or?
Yeah, that's how we've been doing it, yeah. There's been some ventures that we've lost a few thousand dollars on. One of them I'll share with you was our 40 cal jeans, and I'm probably going to give this away and somebody's going to grab it and go with it because we haven't got any protection on it. But we did 40 cal jeans. We had a store down the block that was going out of business, so we went and bought up all their leftover jeans. We took them out to the police range. We took our own private 40 caliber guns, and we shot 40 caliber bullet holes in them. All the younger ones like holes in their jeans. Then we had a logo custom printed on the back, Cops and Donuts 40 cals. People love the idea, but I gave away, if you guys are the ones that are listening are sharp, they were leftover jeans. They didn't fit anybody. We bought the wrong jeans. So that was a mistake. We spent several thousand dollars on that venture, but we love to give back to the community. We donate just so we took those jeans and we donated them to Love Inc. Love Inc. is a group of all of our local churches or most of our local churches. So we gave them to them, and they were able to find people that they would fit or someone that could alter them so they would fit them. So they went to good use. They just weren't good for here. You know, everybody's got their own fit and style of a jean, but it could be done. They'd be very popular, I believe. But that was a mistake we made.
What's another mistake that you're comfortable sharing? Because there's so much to be learned. I mean, there's four different things in what you just shared, from everything from the initial idea, how you took it even one level further with the holes and the decals, and then what you did when you found it didn't work by making the donations. What are other, quote, business mistakes that have taken place since 2009?
Oh, boy. You know, the only thing I can think is we now have a fusion cup that we serve our coffee in. We went with top of the line because we want to grow our Cops coffee. So we have a dark fusion cup. It has a magazine quality wrap print to it. And the cups before those, we went with the Java Jacket. And, you know, the Java Jacket just didn't work for us. I had to spend a lot of money because you have to buy such a large amount for them. Mm-hmm. And just weeks into it, you know, the customer just wasn't happy with that, with our cups, and they didn't like that jacket on there. And we had upset customers, but I bought enough of them that lasted nearly a year because you have to buy such large quantities. So before we moved on, we made that mistake with that. Before we moved on, we really worked through this going to our next cup level, and I got a hold of a representative with Dart Cup, which Dart is a worldwide company, but their world headquarters is here in Mason, Michigan. And I worked with them, and we developed, and it was a little pricey. But we bought five semi-loads of coffee cups, and we have a full basement that's going to last us for a while, but they're turning out really well. By developing that cup and thinking it through this time, I've watched our numbers, and even with our growth, the coffee has grown more in it. And with this new cup, I believe it's raised our coffee sales by nearly 20%.
Worth the investment, as you said, in the more expensive cup because of the domino effect through the business.
Right. And when you buy in large quantity like that, I have a custom-made cup, and buying such quantity, I actually pay less than the generic cup. So it's just you have to buy such a large amount.
Can you talk a little bit about why that domino effect happens? How can changing the cup allow you to sell 20% more coffee?
Well, before it was just a plain white paper cup that everybody, you know, coffee drinkers said they had to have the paper cup because the styrofoam changed the flavor, which isn't true. And now they came out with this fusion cup that's designed for hot drinks, and Dart have all the answers for it. And the jacket just fallen off. You know, we had to have this new cup. And we actually raised, you know, we raised our percentage of sales by it, and we also raised our profit because we pay less for the cup. The other cup in the cost more than this cup does. Yeah, we have it's amazing, and it's normally the older ladies. They'll come in and drink their cup of coffee in these throwaway cups, but they are very flashy, and they'll actually take a napkin and dry it all out, and then they keep it for a souvenir. So
that's really funny.
Yeah,
really funny. Details make all the difference, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Now, I don't, you know, we don't have a lot of mistakes. You know, the jeans and that Java jacket, there's some other little piddly things maybe, but anything that made the amount of money difference was probably those two. One thing that is unique that I think that works with us, we talk about the marketing and how it works. We do up a coupon that we do for different events for like a free donut, or we have one for $2 off a diner. And our Michigan driver's license, we actually took the sample driver's license and printed that on a business card. And then we printed on there, looks like a paper clip. And on the back side, there's $200 bills, it looks like, printed on the back. And that's our card that we use for promotion. So a driver's license fits right in with the cops. And you can drop that card on the sidewalk anywhere, and people are either going to bend over to pick it up because they think it's a Michigan driver's license, or if it lands the other way up, it looks like there's $200 bills paperclip to it. So even if it falls to trash, I've got somebody picking it up a second time and looking at it. So one card is seen by two, and they normally would keep it and bring it back in. But I've kept track of those compared to a generic coupon for a free donut. We get very few of those back. They're keeping them as a souvenir. So you put it out as a promotion. They're feeling good that they're getting a discount, but then they're not even using the discount. They're keeping it as a souvenir.
And are you able to track that those folks are, in fact, walking into the diner for their meal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because every one of those that come in, we treat it just like cash at the till. So they come to me. I do all of our daily numbers. So every single one of those that get turned in come directly to me. So I know what's coming back in. I know how many we've printed. I know how many we send to special events. We've done events in Grand Rapids and on Mackinac Island, and we've taken those cards specifically and launched them in those locations first, and then we watched for them to come back. And, yeah, we track it. Some of the marketing things I picked up, I've got a friend that's in the fast food business, and when you can do things like that and reprint it, you tweak something just a little bit. In his particular business, their logo would be cocked to the right, tilted to the right. Well, when they wanted to do a promotion, they would tilt the logo to the left and send that out. They would actually have marketing people watch the trash in certain areas to see where that logo tilted to the opposite side was at and track where their market was at. So there,
wow.
You know, there's a lot of things you can do. And so we do different cards like that just to track and then see the percentage of what comes back and what goes out. We give out many more of the driver's license coupon than we do the generic. People want them, so we're getting more advertising, but then we have less of them come in percentage-wise.
And
so it's a win both ways.
That's the kind of advertising. People don't tuck it in their wallet or in their drawer. It gets pinned up at the office. It gets shown to other people, like, isn't this cool? So it really has the multiplier effect.
Yep, it's worked out very well. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Well, and so many of the things you've shared today, it goes back to what I said earlier. They're really examples of how you really have thought about serving your customers, using everything you're doing from a marketing perspective to get feedback that then allows you to go back out and serve them even better. And that really is what it takes today to build a successful business. It's all about starting with that serving, getting the feedback, and then improving the serving even more. That's what successful business.
Yep, and it's a lot of work. When I've been talking at these Connect Michigan EDC things, the meetings that they've been having, there's a lot of work to this, and a lot of times they have new people there with startups or wanting to do a startup business. And the one gentleman, Tom, that invites me to do these, that heads them up, he likes the one line that I give him. And I tell him, if you're not willing to work 7 days a week in the beginning and put in a lot of work, then go get a job. Don't have a business. Because it's a lot. If you want it to be successful, you're going to put the hours in. It's not going to be Monday through Friday, go to the lake on the weekend. That just doesn't get it.
No, it really doesn't. What other advice do you have for someone just starting out and building a business?
If you know, like us, we were so fortunate that it was a sideline for us, so we could look at it and as if we were going to just throw that money away. Some people aren't in that position, you know. Their whole livelihood is on it. You know, it's so big. But, boy, if you can do it like us and start it on the side and then work into it, you know. And the big thing is take the chance, you know. You think the idea through and you hear from all the professionals, you know, well, that's just not the way it's done. Well, we do things the outside of the box and a little different, and it's been working for us. So don't be afraid. Listen to your customer. watch what's been going on, whatever your product is. I'm sure if you're getting into a business, you've been watching that business. And if you think that something different would work, but it just doesn't seem right because all of the professionals and everybody else says that's not right, take the chance and try it. You know, if you've been seeing that people are doing it and wanting it, go for it. Don't be afraid to take the chance.
Great advice.
I thank you so much for being able to share both the marketing and the mindset behind it and the mindset behind the business and all your partners. As this has evolved over the past several years, have you found yourselves exchanging who's doing what role for the business?
We have three controlling members. I'm the president, Bubba's the vice president, and then our current chief, Brian Gregory, is the alternate for managing members. They come around and help us when we put the word out that we're in a jam. But in the beginning, everybody banded together. We changed the look of the place. We did some painting and changed all that. But the other guys, they're owners, they're members and everything like that. They support us, but they're not here in the day-to-day operations. They come around when we need them for special events and such. But they've been great with us because, you know, we wanted to grow the business, and we've put the money back in. The only monies that have been taken out have been just since I retired and since Bubba retired, and that's when we started this. We said we were building this to help supplement our retirements, and it did very well from the beginning, and we needed to help that bottom line. So we've given back to the community. Our donations this year back to the community will be larger than our previous owners' last year's gross sales. And
wow.
All the owners agree to do that. You know, that money could be going to them, but we believe in giving back to the community. You know, it's been a tough economic time. This is a small community. It needs all the help. We band together with so many things. A little town of 3,200, and John Punches and a group started an initiative to put in an AstroTurf football field for our little Class C school district that we have. They started that in January. And they've already raised over $1 million, and our football team's playing on that new AstroTurf this fall. Our community bands together by donations like you wouldn't believe. And we helped out. We did as much as we could. The next thing we're tackling right now is we're restoring our historic railroad depot, and we're donating towards that. We help the kids tremendously, band uniforms, instruments, and all of the owners have been great about that, you know. Instead of worrying about the bottom line coming back to them, you know, part of growing your business is investing in your community, and they've all been really good about that. They know what's coming as they retire from law enforcement because we made the plan to help it supplement our retirement, and we've stuck to that. You know, we could have started taking money out of it and did different things, but instead we've purchased three buildings, started a second business called Cops Properties, so instead of us renting, we own our buildings and or are buying them, and we've just banded together, you know. Everybody said, oh, nine owners, it's not going to last a year or two. Well, here we are working on our fifth year, and we get along just as good as the day we started. When I send out an email, I always put on there, still having fun. And it has been. It's fun from day one.
And you're pointing out such a really important issue about partnering and partnership and being in partnership with people who share the same values and how important it is to be able to get as clear on your individual values and the values of the business so that everybody knows that the business and all its endeavors are pulling in the same direction. It's really a remarkable model that you guys have put together.
Right. And another thing that has worked perfect, and I'm glad we stuck with it, we said in the beginning we would not hire any of our family members to be employees.
Mm.
Well, we started out with such a growth. I had family members myself that could have used a job at the time, and we had others, and it was growing so fast, and we're looking for employees and stuff, but we stuck to that. We did not bring in family members because all that's going to do is be a seed to start the fighting. You know, Johnny's son is doing this and not that, and so we've kept that out of it. All of our employees are non-family, and that we've stuck to that. You know, that was our original plan, just like the monies. And we've stayed with our core values from the beginning, and it's worked perfect.
It's remarkable.
Linda, let's remind everybody of where they can find Cops and Donuts.
We're in the heart of downtown Clare, Michigan, and you can also find us online at copsdonuts.com. And we've got links to our Facebook, Twitter, our YouTube page. We've got some goofy videos on our YouTube, and you know, watch Small Town Big Deal this Thursday night at 9:30 on RFD-TV. RFD-TV, you talk about the aging public. That's the number one growing network in America right now, and it has the longest watcher. They stay on the channel for the longest time. So, yeah.
Fantastic. And I'm sure we can find more info about that on the website, too.
Yes. Facebook, you may not find a Small Town Big Deal on our website, but it's on Facebook. It's on there, and we'll put out a reminder again to see it Thursday night at 9:30 Eastern. I also, one thing with this, with England, we touched on that in the beginning, but we went over there and we truly felt like family with all those officers over there. There's a private business over there called USA Cop Cars, and they did up a replica of our Clare City police car. So when we got there, we had cops that treated us like brothers, and we had a patrol car there that made us feel at home, and just the whole community over there was great. And they need a big shout-out. They've made us feel at home over there last week.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, if there is ever anything we can do to help you guys, please don't hesitate to reach out. And I definitely want to have a conversation with you about Google Plus and how it can help you with your growth.
Sounds great. Watch for us to see if we make it to the Final Four in this Intuit, because we're going to need everybody's vote, because it's all on popularity at the end. And then I'm sure that Intuit, working with us, with our goofiness and Cops and Donuts, you'll get a very entertaining 30-second ad during the big game in February. And you never know. Maybe the Detroit Lions will be there. Maybe the Detroit Lions will be there.
That would be really great, wouldn't it?
It sure would.
Certainly looks like it's a possibility this year.
There's a possibility, yep, on both parts. So maybe Michigan will be represented in more than one way.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It has been our pleasure, and I hope everybody goes and checks out copsdonuts.com. That's D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T-S, copsdonuts.com. And Linda and I will be back next week, same time, same place, for another episode of Breakthrough Directions. Thanks, Linda. Thanks, Rhino.
Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.